two passages from the Old Testament and two passages from the New Testament about the soul. Psalm 49, verse 6. Psalm 49, 6. David trusts in their wealth and boasts themselves in the multitude of their riches. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their life is costly, and it faileth forever. Now turn back to Job chapter 33. The next book back, chapter 33. And look at verse 23. Speaking about a man that is in trouble, it says, if there be with him an angel, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man what is right for him, then God is gracious unto him and says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Now, Matthew chapter 20 in the New Testament. Matthew 20. James and John have tried to talk the Lord Jesus into giving them the most exalted places in the coming kingdom, on his right hand and on his left. And the Savior says, this is not possible. The others hear about it and they're indignant. Verse 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Not so shall it be among you. But whosoever would become great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever would be first among you shall be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his soul a ransom for many. The word life is the same that is translated in Mark 8:36 and 7. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Christ giving his life, his soul, a ransom for many. Now turn over to John 10. John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life, or his soul, for the sheep. Verse 17. Therefore doth the Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all the magnificent truths presented in thy word. The problems set before man that can never be resolved by man. And yet man continues to seek resolution. And yet from the beginning there has been no resolution. And we are thankful that thou dost tell us also about someone who came down from heaven who is able to resolve all the problems and all the bondage that man finds himself in from which he could not free himself. We are thankful, our Father, that you are not a God who tells us our plight, but gives us no advice as to how to be rescued from it. That you are Hebrew in faithfulness, tells us of our condition, and then tells us the way of escape from our condition. We thank you, Father, that we have this message today. In a world of hopelessness, in a world of darkness, in a world that seems bordering on destruction, we are thankful that this day, the portions that we have read from thy word are true for us, and we can relate them in mankind. We thank you, our Father. So let us realize this, and let not our hearts be sorrowful, but our God, let those who are without Christ take hope, because Christ is the Savior of sinners, and for us who have trusted him as Savior, let us rejoice in the fullness of our salvation, which is found in thy Son. Prepare hearts and lips by thy Spirit, and you have promised that if we confess our sins, you would be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. So grant that for us. We look to thee, our Father. Bless us for good, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Many prophets and righteous men desired to see the things that you see, but saw them not. These were the words that Christ told his disciples. They were listening to things, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and as Christ was unfolding unto them the mysteries, and then the explanation of these mysteries, the Lord Jesus spoke those words. Many prophets and righteous men desired to see, desired to hear the things that you see and hear, but they saw them not, they heard them not. That's why I read, first of all, from the Old Testament, because what I wanted to do was to just read one portion from the New Testament, but they are so involved, entwined one with another, it would be an injustice for you just to see a diamond without its proper setting. And what God set before us as a problem for mankind is that he is going to die and go down to the pit, and nobody can supply a ransom. Now that's the greatest problem that man has. You're going to die. Unless the Lord Jesus comes back again, you are going to die. And your body will be put in the ground, and if there is not a ransom, you will be with that rich man in hell, lifting up your eyes in torment. Remember that. If a man is under the judgment of God, if he is sentenced to die, and it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment, then you're going to die, and the judgment is going to be, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So, in Psalm 49, and I did not read the other part of that psalm, I read the answer to that psalm in the book of Job. But here are some men, and they need a ransom for their soul, but there is no man with all his wealth who can provide a ransom for man's soul. You realize that if you wanted to be independent of God and not cast yourself upon him in his mercy, if you had a sufficient redemption price, you could give it to God. You could say, here is my ransom. Now, go about your business. What God tells us in Psalm 49 is that no man can by any means ransom or redeem his brother. The ransom is costly, and it faileth forever. So that's the hopeless man. You need a ransom, and nobody can ransom your soul. I've been telling you in past weeks that some such as David would give himself a ransom for Absalom. Oh, Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died in thy stead. I have died for thee. But David could not give his soul a ransom for Absalom. And the Apostle Paul said, I could wish myself a curse from God, anathema, for the nation of Israel. But Paul was not able to give himself a ransom for the nation of Israel, and as good a man as David was, relatively speaking, and as good a man as Paul was, relatively speaking, if they go up and say, here is my soul, I give myself a ransom for man, God would say, and who is going to ransom you? You are a sinner like all mankind. You are one of sinful mankind. It is appointed unto you once to die. You have to answer for your own sin. Who are you to speak about answering for the sins of another? And David would put his hand upon his mouth, and Paul would put his hand upon his mouth. And it says that the search for a ransom among men, such as you and I, it says, it faileth forever. And we are put in this condition. We are just like poor John, the beloved apostle, in Revelation 5, when an announcement was made. Who is worthy to open the book or loose the seals thereof? And God's universe was searched, and nobody was found worthy. And John was weeping. He said, I wept much. And then assurance came to him. He said, weep not. Why? Because someone worthy had been found. You see the hope for mankind? The plight is this. You are doomed to death and the pit. And there's no ransom. But then that is why I read to you in Job 39. And you be thankful that I'm here this morning. Because it says this. If there is anybody who can tell a man how redemption comes about, it says if there is an angel, if there is one in a thousand who can tell him, then God, if man has the right information, will say, I have found a ransom for his soul. Think of that. Think of God finding a ransom. You say, God has found a ransom. Well, why could not man find a ransom? Because he was looking among men like himself. Men born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And he would search endlessly. He would fail forever in his search to find a ransom, someone that could redeem his soul. But it says this. It says that here is a man that is in need of a ransom, and somebody gives him the proper information, and God says, you have found a ransom. What could it possibly be that is not to be found among you, something that fails forever, a need of a ransom, and yet it speaks about somebody has found a ransom? Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, just as they told their loved one and relatives in John's Gospel, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets spoke, Jesus, we have found him. And before the chapter is over, he is acknowledged as Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And now, in the words of our Savior himself, he says this. He said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That is why I am invaluable to you. That is why everyone with the knowledge of salvation which is in Christ is invaluable to you. Because unless someone is able to tell you about Jesus, the ransom, then you are doomed to death and eternal torment in the pit. And it is failing forever, searching for one wealthy enough to redeem you. With some material thing, silver and gold, you will search forever. It faileth forever. But if someone comes and tells you, 1 Peter 1:18, you are not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without spot, without blemish. Do you understand that that is the finest news, the best news, priceless news? No one could give you better news than the ransom that is acceptable to God for the salvation of your soul. And the Lord Jesus told us, and I told you, I never heard of it. I never knew of that salvation and understood it until I was 19 years of age. I went to church. I never heard of it. Perhaps it was spoken. But one day I heard that there was a ransom for my lost soul. And that was the best news that I ever heard. And that's what the word gospel means. It is good news. What is the good news? The best news is that Christ is the Savior of sinners. And the Father said it, and the Savior said it, and now all of His disciples have gone into all the world and preached that good news to every creature. So it may be that there are 1,000 ministers, and out of the 1,000, one of them, and I'm speaking the truth, I'm not exaggerating, one out of 1,000 will tell you the ransom price, which is Christ, because some will tell you of baptism. Some will tell you of association with the church. Some will tell you of morality. Some will tell you of inheritance. Some will tell you of personal worth. They will tell you all of those things. 999 of them, of all the modernistic, Christ-rejecting ministers of the world will tell you that. But thank God, some will tell you, one out of 1,000, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the ransom price. And having heard that, then you do not have to die. You do not have to go to the pit. If you do die, Christ is the resurrection and the life. And if He called Lazarus forth from the grave, He will call you forth from the grave. And at the same time, as the Lord Jesus received Stephen into heaven, the Lord Jesus will receive you into heaven. And the sad news for man is this. You are lost and condemned, and it's impossible for you to find a ransom. And the good news is this, that God has found a ransom, and that ransom is His only begotten Son. And so if you are looking for a ransom among men, you will seek it forever. It faileth forever. But if someone has told you that God sent His Son from heaven, then someone has told you about God's own ransom. And that is why God can redeem your soul from going down to the pit. Why? Because God says, I found a ransom. Understand this. It is absolutely essential. God is powerless to admit you into His heaven unless someone produces a ransom. And God found that ransom in His own Son. And God is He who sent His own Son. And that is what thrilled my soul, and the soul with all who have an understanding about the selfish nature of all men. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's man. Gain. Self. The world. And the Lord Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. That is what sets Him apart from all men. What? You and I, to a greater or lesser degree, want things. The Lord Jesus is He who relinquished things. It says this, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for our sake, He became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. You and I are poor, and we want riches of this world. The Lord Jesus had all the riches of heaven, and He became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. So understand, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the ransom that had to be paid. It was something that was precious, and it's described as the precious blood of Christ. It was another human being who must be sacrificed for His fellow men Because in the Old Testament, and grasp this, that when it speaks about redemption, when it speaks about ransom, and I cannot distinguish between these two now, at times, the very word for ransom is translated redemption in the Old and in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, the Redeemer that must be found if there is going to be redemption is a kinsman redeemer. And the word means a near relative, one that is associated with you, one that is kin to you. And the New Testament sets forth the Lord Jesus as the ransom, as the kinsman redeemer. It sets him forth in a threefold way, which perhaps I shall bring to your attention. But in a threefold way, he is the one who is the ransom for our soul. And God delights to tell us the very ways that our need that is unmeetable by mankind, by ourselves, it is all met in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, that is why he said, the Son of Man came. He came, yes. He said, I came into the world. He speaks about, I came down from heaven. Now, you and I came up from the earth. We are of the earth, earthy. But the Lord Jesus is he who, while being one with man through his mother, at the same time is he who came down from heaven. And in that miraculous way that no one can explain, it is a mystery that God has never explained. It is simply this. Mary said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel Gabriel said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also that holy thing which shall be begotten of thee shall be called the Son of God. And at that moment, whenever the conception took place, the Lord Jesus came from heaven, and he was God manifest in the flesh. And that is why the Lord Jesus said, I came down from heaven. He did not come, as he often came down from heaven in the Old Testament, to visit with man. But the Lord Jesus Christ became man. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And the kinsman redeemer part, the Lord Jesus being one with mankind, is that which is emphasized in Hebrews chapter 2. And that's why it says in John 1, the Word became flesh. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, then he in like manner partook of the same, that through death he might redeem them. He might free us, all of us who for a lifetime, through fear of death, the subject of bondage. So the Father says, I have found the ransom. Then stop looking for a ransom. God has found one. How foolish. Men running, seeking a ransom, and God in heaven says, I found a ransom. You'll never find a ransom. I have found one. And you'll say, well, let me find another. If God has found a ransom, then rejoice. Because if the Father says, this ransom is acceptable, then you need no other. Do you see the folly of man? The Father says, I have found a ransom. If that is so, then you do not have to add anything to that ransom. You cannot take anything away from that ransom. God has found a ransom. He has proclaimed it good, and he loves that ransom. He loves the ransom because it is a person, his only begotten Son. He said it again and again, this is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son. The Lord Jesus said, Father, you loved me before the foundation of the world. The Father loved him in heaven. He loved him on earth. And he delights to point out to man the redemption that is in his Son, the Lord Jesus. And the Savior tells us that. I know the Father loves me because Christ died for me. The Lord Jesus said, the Father loves you because you love me. And why do I love the Lord Jesus? We love him because he first loved us. And now the Lord Jesus says, because you love me, the Father loves you. Think of that. The Father loves me, but first he loved the Son. The Lord Jesus said, therefore that my Father loved me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Now, get this contrast. Here are James and John. Lord, let me be on your right hand. Let me be on your left hand. And the ten, when they heard it, were moved with indignation, not because they were any better, because they would want place on the right hand and on the left hand. They were moved with indignation, all of them wanting something. And the Savior says, no, for whom it is prepared of my Father, they are graspers, even the best. They are graspers, they want something. And later on again, they want to find out who's going to be greatest in the kingdom. They're always grasping. They want to acquire. And the Lord Jesus said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. Now that is the beauty of it. The Lord Jesus had not the whole world, but he had the universe, because it was his. All things were made by him. And apart from him was not anything made that hath been made. It was all his. And he who had it all, relinquished it all, and came to earth and became poor, and now he says, poor sinner, my wealth is yours. And the richest thing that Christ gave us was his own precious blood. Understand this, that the glory of heaven, the worship of angels, all of those things, they were of no comparable value to the precious blood that Christ shed, because his glory could have been left. Humanity could have been assumed. But unless Christ went to the cross of Calvary and paid the ransom price, then the Father would have been searching in vain for a ransom, because you would not be able to find it. But the Father said, I have found a ransom. Whom shall I send, and who shall go for us? And as Isaiah said, here am I, send me. The Lord Jesus said, Father, I am prepared to empty myself, to become poor, to be made a little lower than the angels, to go into the world. I am willing to give myself a ransom for sinners. And that is what Christ did. Understand this. When it says, I give my life a ransom for many, the word life is the word psuche, that is translated soul in Mark 8. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And you cannot pinpoint that word, because at times it means a soul, but at times it means the man himself. And I'm so glad to be able to verify that, because if you compare what Christ said in Matthew and Mark with Luke, he says in Luke, he gives himself. He interchanges the word soul for self. And so your soul, in the good sense, is all that you are, your person, your being. And that is what Christ gave. He did not get a part of himself, but he gave the entirety of himself. He gave himself a ransom for many. And this is what God tells us over and over in the New Testament. At times, it mentions simply his person. I give myself, I give my life, I give my soul a ransom. At times, it mentions his precious blood as being the ransom. Thank God for that. It makes no difference. If it's the precious blood of Christ, if it's his soul, if it's his person, then it means that God has found a ransom that is sufficient to demand my release from the bondage of sin and from the penalty of death and hell. And Jesus Christ, person, the sacrifice of himself, is the ransom that God will accept. And it's the only ransom that God will accept. And man would presume, and man would insult God in offering anything else. Finally, Paul understands. He said, not having my own righteousness, even that which is of the law. But he speaks about the righteousness of God, which is found in Jesus Christ. And that righteousness is that which God looks upon, that which is essential and God has been showing it to us again and again throughout the Old Testament. Here, in Exodus chapter 30, God demanded. He says, when the people are numbered, every one must pay a ransom for his soul, a half shekel of silver. Every man, the rich shall not give more, the poor shall not give less. Every man shall give a ransom for his soul. Why? Because God is showing in the Old Testament that we must be ransomed. That is absolutely essential. And it was pressed upon Israel. No one was exempt. But I'm so poor. You have to pay a ransom for your soul. The rich would say, I'm rich, let me pay more. God says the same. Why? Because the ransom for rich or poor is always the same. That it was such a small sum. It's simply God telling us its accessibility. Just as he tells us from Deuteronomy in Romans. Why, it's nigh thee. It's no difficult thing. It's in thy mouth and in thy heart. What? The way of salvation. It is so easy. It is so free. But the man to lay hold on that half shekel of silver to give for a ransom for his soul, it could only be provided not as a picture, not as a type. It could only be provided by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that half shekel of silver actually is nothing less than the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross of Calvary. And I, with my comprehension, lay hold upon it. And I say, my God, I have found a ransom, your Son, the Lord Jesus. And God rejoices. And he says, and you are delivered from the pit. I do not have to go to the pit. I do not have to die. I have eternal life. I shall never perish. Now, let me ask you. When the Lord Jesus said this, he said, I'm not like you. He said, you want a place on the right hand and on the left. He said, I was one with my Father in heaven. I had glory with him before the world was. I gave up that glory. I'm going to get it back. But not now. I gave up that glory. You're always wanting things. He said, I gave it up. I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. I see. He gave his life a ransom for many. I wonder if that included you. It doesn't say he gave it for all. It says he gave it for many. You say, yes, and I may have been left out. I'm so thankful that at times God interprets what he means by many. Some would limit the death of Christ for just a few. But in the Hebrew and in the Greek, this expression means he is giving his life not for a few, but for many. Not a few, but for many. How many? I'll tell you how many. In the Word of God, it says this. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, that Christ also hath given himself. He is the ransom. He gave himself a ransom for all. The man, Christ Jesus, there is one God and one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. And that is God's interpretation of many in Matthew 20. How many, not just a few, how many, God says, how many beings shall ever come into existence? How many shall ever there are? My Son's precious blood is ransom that is sufficient for them. And here we poor sinners see the infinite value of the ransom value of the precious blood of Christ. And we by faith go and take our half shekel and we present it to God and say, I found a ransom. And God looked at that half shekel and he says, yes, you have found a ransom. And that is my Son himself, his precious blood. And I want you to understand that tears are dry. Because the Lion of the tribe of Judah is the one who is worthy, the one who is worthy, the one who is sufficient to meet God's demand for a ransom. And the Lord Jesus pays that ransom. And as to his preciousness, to think of the need that you and I could never pay, And the Lord Jesus, with his precious blood, meets that need for every human being that ever has been born, or ever could be born. So the sufficient work in the precious blood of Christ that paid that ransom. And God rejoices, and the inhabitants of heaven rejoice, and they are crying praises unto God. Worthy is the Lamb that hath been slain, you understand. He was slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And it says every being in heaven worship. Why? Because the ransom has been found and God has accepted it. And all that was closed and shut up to mankind and for good things in the future, all of them now have been opened. And instead of tears, there is rejoicing. And instead of sinners going down to the pit in agony and in despair because no ransom was found, the ransom was found in the person of his Son. And the ransom is for all. The ransom is for you. And it is yours by faith. If I shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And those who are saved are those who have been redeemed, have been ransomed. God has found a ransom. It is in his Son, the Lord Jesus. Receive the Lord Jesus, the ransom for your soul. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that our greatest need has been met in the person of Christ. We confess, our God, that it is futile for us to look for someone to redeem his brother. There is no one who is worthy. But there is that sinless one that you sent from heaven, and he became our brother. And he is the one who presented himself a ransom. And now, Father, we hope this one, filled with hope, with boldness, and we can approach thee, because we have been ransomed. And accredit all those to thy Son, the Lord Jesus. Our Father, how calamitous that a ransom has been paid, and man can be saved, but man will not avail himself of it. But we pray that they shall understand that by faith, the ransom price is taken and given back to you, O Father. And may we who have received that ransom price worship you and your Son, as he's being worshipped in heaven, and may all who have never been ransomed, may they take that ransom price, because Christ gave himself a ransom for many, a ransom for all, and may all of us not have tears that cannot be dried, but tears that can be wiped away, because a ransom has been found. Hear us and receive our mighty prayer, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord.